How's everybody doing today? All right? Okay, good, good. I'm going to grab this, get out of Michael's way. Don't worry about this yet, okay? Last week we began, we're in Ephesians, and we began one sentence in the Greek from Paul, a lot of sentences in English, verses 3 through 14. And it's going to take us 3 weeks to go through one sentence that Paul wrote. And we saw already that it's a wish prayer. Bless God. And my blessing, that God may bless you, right? And that we might bless him because we're chosen before the foundations of the world. We're adopted as sons, right? And we come to this word in verse 7, redeemed. It's one we sing about, we know or talk about a lot, but it's so important. And so to help figure that out, I'm going to ask one of my good friends, Abby Scott, to come up here. Let's hear for Abby. Come on. Come on up. Abby's been helping me all weekend actually do this. She wants to get paid now. I think she should, but actually, you got to wait. We'll see how she does, all right? Now, we got her all locked up in these chains, all right? Man, I said I should have did like one of the boys. I could really kind of, I just couldn't do that to her, right? But I want you to pretend, use your imagination. We got her in chained up, right? So the idea of redemption or to be redeemed is really, we've talked about this before, but it's really to transfer ownership. It's usually through a price, usually. But in Paul's day, it specifically and very contextually meant slavery, which thankfully we don't have, right? We had in our history. It's awful. There's been slavery since human history, since as soon as sin came, human beings being cruel to other human beings. But in Paul's day, it was very specific, an economic thing, right? So if Abby owes me a great debt she can't pay, she's mine, right? She has to do what I say, go where I say. I would probably just let her just keep being cute if I was her boss or owner. But we'll pretend I'm a little crueler, right? And so the only way for her out of this is somebody to pay the debt. She could sometimes pay it, but usually that's pretty rare. Someone who loves her, like say her dad or her mom, right? So you think they would redeem you?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
All right. So let's pretend then they paid the price. They would redeem your brother, right? You think? Maybe, she said. All right. So they do that, right? And I let her go. I unlock the lock, and she's free. Let's hear it for Abby. Three in a row. And so this word redemption, that's what it means. Except in the New Testament, we learn redemption is we are a slave to far more than something physical. We're a slave to our sin. And to be redeemed, right, is by the blood of Christ so that now we are his. Because it means transfer of ownership. So we are now a slave to him. We are now in him. Let's look at that and look at verses 7 to 10 together. But first, let's pray. Lord, we come before you so grateful. I'm grateful for Abby's help all weekend using her personality that you have given her, Lord, to help us see such an important word. I thank you for the ability to be here. And I especially pray, God, for our teens and youth leaders who have been on their retreat all weekend and are probably wrapping up here today. And I just pray that you would bring great and lasting fruit. We miss them and long for them to be back with us, but we're so grateful you've given them that space in Douglas to just really learn more about you and grow in you. Lord, I pray you take this time to use that your spirit would move us closer to you, Jesus, or to save where that's needed. May you be glorified. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So, we're going to be picking it up in verse 7. We have Bibles around. If you want to use them, use your own or just use the screen. If you don't own a Bible, please take one. It's our gift to you. You're not stealing, I promise. If you know someone who needs one, take it. We'll replace it. So while you do that, and those of you turn there, I don't know if you've looked around, but do you like the look of three new lights and some of the old lights? You like that? Good, because we ran out of money, so that's that. No, kidding, we didn't. Just took the electricians a little longer, and they'll finish next week. But again, almost done, and really, really grateful for all of you who have prayed, been patient, given to it. As you know, we did take out a small loan, so we want to pay that back real quick. So we're just really grateful. even in the last few weeks, if we didn't have these chairs, we wouldn't have been able to fit, especially at the nine, the amount of people. And so it's all because of your sacrifice. So thank you. And if anybody wants one of the old lights, let me know. We can get one for you. All right, next week. All right, so as we get to verse 7, remember, it's still in the middle of one sentence, right? And we've seen this in him or in Christ many times, right? And again, in him, meaning in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, right? In him. It's so important because I want to make sure you understand, if you're not in Christ, and how do you get in Christ? By faith. It's his grace. It's your faith. You can't just sit it out and be like, well, you know, I'll just reap the benefits. That's not how this works. To get any of this redemption, forgiveness, all of that, you have to be in Christ. And the only way you can do that is surrendering and saying, Jesus, save me, right? So all who do that in him, you have what? Redemption. Redemption. But through his blood, right? Now, I want you to see, in English, just because, just like in the original language Paul wrote, it's we have. You know what that means? It's a present tense. So, you have it now, in Christ. It's not just some future thing you hope for, man, if things work out. No, I have, in Christ, redemption, freedom, now. Don't forget that, right? And so this word redemption, it's not a new concept that Paul brings up. This is throughout the Old Testament, right? It's what they call a shadow of things to come, right? A pointer of, okay, we start learning what redemption is. We start learning this through the sacrificial blood, right? But it's all to be revealed in the New Testament in an even greater way. We see it most, I think, prominently in the book of Exodus, where God's people, if you've ever read it, God's people are enslaved physically, right? They're in Egypt, and they're literally in chains, and they cry out to God, or they just cry out, and God hears them. And God actually, in his power and in his grace, says, you know what? I'm going to redeem them. And so he raises up a redeemer that through him, he will redeem them. His name's Moses. This is what he said in Exodus. Say therefore to the people of Israel, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will deliver you from slavery to them, and I will, there it is, redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great acts of judgment. And maybe you know the story where he uses the 10 plagues, the power of God, and Moses is just the agent, the vessel. And he raises them up, and he's bringing judgment, and he's saying, let my people go. I'm redeeming my people. I'm taking them back, right? I'm going to own them. You don't own them anymore. It gets to the 10th plague, and it gets real serious, where he says, Moses, tell them that if you don't let my people go, the angel of the Lord in his wrath, in his just wrath, is going to visit each home, and the firstborn of every family is going to die. That's heavy stuff. But then in his grace, he reveals to his people, because you need to understand, his people aren't better, right? They're just by God's grace. He reveals to them, listen, then the angel of the Lord comes, he needs to see the blood covering you. Take a spotless lamb and sacrifice it, right? And then you get the blood. Some of you are worried about what I have over here. It's going to be okay. You get the blood and the hyssop branch, right? And you take of that spotless lamb and you put it on your doorpost, right? And you make sure it's seen, right? Because that lamb takes your place, right? That lamb is instead of you. So now what happened was, exactly as he promised, is the angel of the Lord comes, and when he sees the blood, passes over. And this whole idea of shed blood and a sacrifice becomes very important. The Day of Atonement for God's people, that will bring a shed blood of a sacrifice that took their place. But here's the thing. They got to keep doing it over and over again. They got to keep doing it. Why? Because it's a shadow of things to come. It isn't permanent, right? And so we know, right? That's what Paul's trying to get at. We have actual redemption, not from slavery in Egypt, but slavery from our sin because of the blood of the Lamb, right? Do you remember in the Gospels when John the Baptist sees Jesus, he says, behold, the Lamb of God, the perfect, spotless Lamb who dies once for all. We don't need it anymore because he did it. It's paid in full. And through his blood, his perfect blood, because he took our place, we're redeemed, right? right? All of it pointed to Jesus, that his plan, according to Paul and his word, God's word, is to redeem us. So the first thing you need to realize is this has always been the plan. This isn't plan C, like God's like, man, that screwed up. That didn't work. These people are worse than I thought. Well, maybe if we try this. That's not the foundations of the world. He's had this plan, knowing there's only one way for us to be redeemed, and that's his own son. That's it. This is important. We live in a world, in a culture full of choices. Like, I'm now 50. I'm old enough to remember when we had two brands of Doritos. Cool Ranch, nacho cheese, right? Now, I mean, I love it. And find different flavors to kill myself slowly, right, every week. Ooh, look at sweet chili from, you know, whatever it is. And it's like, unbelievable. We have all these choices, and we also live in a culture where it's like, you can do it, you can get it right, and that can seep into our religious beliefs, and we need to start thinking like, well, Jamie, I came to church because I need a little help. No, you need all the help by God's grace, right? And that's sort of the point, isn't it? Is that this is the plan. I've said this so often. If Jesus is just a way, why'd he do it? Like, if I can get there on my own, why? Jesus should have been like, Jamie, good luck. You can do it. Just work harder. Just be more religious. Read your Bible more. Go to more church services. You'll get there. If that was the case, why would he endure the cross? Why would he even come in flesh? But the reason he did that, it's always been the plan. Because it's the only plan. And that can be a tough for us because we can... first of all, one of the barriers is that we've sinned. And second of all, I want to work it off. I want to do better. I can do better. No, you can't. And we'll talk about that as we get to what a trespass is. So if you've never put your faith in Christ, to be in Christ is all it is. You're invited to, right? By his grace, just like the Egyptians the Hebrew people in Egypt, like just believe and do, just believe, put your faith, except this time it's in the permanent blood of the Lamb. But here's what I'll say to those of you who, many of us, are in Christ. I pointed this out earlier, and I want you to remember this is present tense. You have redemption. Here's what the enemy says. Well, maybe someday in heaven, but for now, you're never going to stop being a screw-up. Like, you're still a slaver to pornography. You're still a slaver to the bottle, to the drugs. You're still a slaver to worry, to doubt. You're still a slaver to gossip, to lust. You're still like, it's just who I am. No, it isn't. Yes, we're struggling in the flesh. Yes, we still have the old man and God sanctifying us, but you are redeemed. That means you actually can walk in that grace. You aren't owned by your sin anymore. You're owned by God. And so you're now his child, right? You've been set free. You've been purchased. And so now, if that's the case, right, what comes from that redemption? Same sentence, right? Redemption through his blood, right? The forgiveness of our trespasses. There's that word. According to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us in all wisdom and insight. You know, Paul will use the word trespasses and what we see translated as sins interchangeably, because they can basically mean the same thing, a trespass. But that word has a nuance to it that I think is very interesting. I mean, it just simply means to cross a boundary you shouldn't cross, which some of you have no trespassing signs, right? Up there with your sniper rifle just waiting for some dog, you know? Oh, that's nobody here? Okay, that's just me? All right, no, I don't have a sniper rifle. But trespassing to cross the boundary. I think a good way to look at this is, and I apologize if you're not a football fan, we'll get through this together, all right? But a couple weeks ago, the Patriots were playing the Miami Dolphins, and both are pretty sad to mediocre teams this year. I, being 50, remember when we were invited to the AFC Championship game every year, you know, and beyond. But not anymore. And so you had these two teams, they're going back and forth, back and forth. And if you watch it, I was like, oh my goodness, I don't think we're going to win this game. But finally, the Patriots take the lead. There's not much time left. The Dolphins need a touchdown to win. Otherwise, they're going to lose. It looked bad for the Dolphins. But then this amazing play happens. Their running back gets the ball and does this amazing thing. And they all get excited like they're going to win. Let's watch it.
From the 44-yard line,
not much time.
Hill in motion again.
That doesn't look like much of a play. He should be.
Okay,
Oh my goodness! Look at how awesome. If you're a Dolphins fan,
still going. Achane, 10-5.
It's over.
Touchdown, Achane!
Everybody's going excited, except
literally did.
Watch.
Absolutely, the foot was in the white.
Oh.
There.
Freeze that. Oh. First of all, I had some people after the nine go, we should watch more games in the worship center. That was not my point, people. All right? But you're not wrong. You're not wrong. It's a pretty nice screen. But look at that. That's called trespass. That's out of bounds. Now, the Dolphins could have, and he could have been the coach, said to the refs, are you kidding me? That was an amazing play. And the refs like, it was an amazing play. So fast, so quick, really good. But sorry, man, you trespassed, right? Or they could have been like, come on. It's a slight touch of the cleat. You could just let us go, let us score, let us win. And imagine if the refs huddle up and go, you know what? They're right. Let's let them have it. The Patriots players and fans would be like, what? Right? And then all chaos would blow up because you can't just let that go and then not that and then not that. Like, where does it all end? And then the refs may as well just go home, which is how we usually feel anyway, let's be honest. Right? So now bring us back to that verse, please. And so trespass is what that is, except God has set up boundaries that are far more important than a football game. They are boundaries that he has set up in his holiness and righteousness that are good for us. But when we trespass them, they aren't just mistakes. They are actually trespassing past his boundary. And so therefore, for the right justice, all of them have to be dealt with. He doesn't just say, yeah, you know what? You just stepped out of bounds for a little bit. It's fine. That's not how this works. Instead, it has to be paid for. That's what Jesus is all about. And so the trespass, right, is that means every single one of us have crossed this boundary, all of us. Now, some of you, you're like, oh, I completely agree, Jamie. I like not only ran off that out of that sidelines, I ran into the stands and I started punching people. That's how bad my life's been. There's no doubt about my trespass. But there's a few of you, maybe at some point or maybe now, you were born into this Christian family in a church, literally in the church nursery. Pastor cut your umbilical cord, gave you a slap on the back. You went right to Sunday school and never passed, like you just, right? And all you did was follow the rules and be a good Christian, right? Except you never came to Christ by faith, right? I'm going to be good enough. And your life reflects that. So you're like, but I've done a lot of good plays, and you have, and I believe God will use those, but you need to be in Christ to be redeemed because every one of us have gone out of bounds. Every one of us. And so whether it's like I'm too lost or I feel like I'm too close, all of us have to come and to know Christ, and we're redeemed and we receive the forgiveness of our trespasses. And he says this, I'll get lavished in a second, but in all wisdom and insight, that's very important. Some would say that he gives us all wisdom and insight, and God does do that. But I believe that this contextually means that he lavishes his grace on us and forgiveness in all wisdom and insight. You know what that means? God knows everything. He knows a lot more than you or I about what? About our trespasses. He knows the things that you have forgotten about, that you've pushed down and pretend to forget about. He also knows the ripple effects. Somebody that you hurt in eighth grade and you've kind of been like, oh, it's forgotten about it. The hurt that person took and hurt someone else who hurt someone else and all the ripple effect and all the garbage and all of it. He has all wisdom and insight. He knows all of it. I truly believe that if we could look, even those who think we're pretty good and made some pretty good plays in this life, that if we could really look at the hurt we've caused to God first and foremost and to others, and especially in light of God's holiness and righteousness, it'd crush us. We would just be overwhelmed with how much trespass we have in our life, which is why Paul in the same sentence says, in that, because of Christ, he has lavished his grace. This word, this has gone poorly so far. We'll see how I do, all right? But I want you to see, okay? That's because it's gone poorly. This little cup, sad little plastic cup, is your life, all right? And there's times where maybe you're in church, you're like, I just need a little help. I'm just a little thirsty. Just a little, right? Like, and what Paul says, no, you need more than that. And so you know what? In Christ, he does just a disaster. Could you imagine, like, you're just knocked over by God's grace. You imagine just like, I just need $100. Just $100, and someone gives you $17 trillion. That's what that word means. It correlates the word riches of his grace with how they describe Solomon in the Old Testament, the richest man ever. And so in light of how much my trespass is, it's even more God's lavishing grace. So if you're here, and even if you are in Christ and you're just feeling so, so unforgiven, you need to remember, you need to put yourself again under that lavishing grace in Christ and know that you are fully and freely forgiven. Some people don't get baptized. Some people don't serve. Some people don't share Christ. Some people, because they just give up, they're just like, I'm much of a mess. And you need to know that much of a mess you are is how much greater the cross is, how much greater his blood is. And so you can step into your purpose of what God has for you because he's lavished such grace on you. See if I have enough room up here now, all right? So his plan is to forgive us. If a barrier for you has been your sin, hopefully now you realize you got plenty of trespasses and they have to be dealt with. Otherwise, it's not fair if he just excuses them and not others or all of them. It's just not just. It's not right. Right? So maybe your absolute disastrous mess has kept you from trusting Christ. Now you know his grace is greater. Maybe it's been your moral performance, but I'm a pretty good person. Pretty good person. Who are you comparing to? The person sitting next to you? Don't look at him. Awesome. Congrats. That's not the record you're being compared to. It's God's holiness. And we all fall short of the glory of God. And so the shame of any of the past or present, Jesus' cross is enough. Forgiveness comes by his redemption, by his blood. Period. If I could, I've done enough illustrations, but if I had that bag of guilt sometimes I bring out, man, you got to lay that down. If you're in Christ, lay it down. He took it. It's stopping you from living the life he's given you. You're free. Stop acting like you're enslaved. You're not. There will be struggles, we will blow it, but your life is his now. And so we just want to give you a couple more verses. Just one more thing before we stop and we'll pick up the rest of his sentence next week. But in verse 9, he says this, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose, which he has set forth in Christ. Right? His purpose, a mystery is not like a complex puzzle. A mystery is something that was true, just either slowly or not so slowly revealed to us in time, especially in Christ. And he's really going to get into the biggest mystery was that Gentiles or non-Jews could be saved. But that comes more in later in chapter 2 and 3. But he's just saying this mystery of his will has now been set forth. What is it? As a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in Christ. Things in heaven and things on earth in him. His plan, because of the redemption by his blood, is to unite us. All things heaven and earth, right? So we're told all things made by Christ, through Christ, for Christ will be ruled by Christ. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And this means there will be some still outside of Christ, but they will acknowledge it because they have no other choice when he returns and unites all things under him. But here's something else it means. All of nature, all of the animal kingdom that was ravaged by sin, he's going to make right. He's going to unite all people who are in Christ. People that have gone before us that we miss so dearly, we will be united with them. We will see them in eternity. Like if you're suffering from grief of someone you lost a while ago or very recently, and it's heavy and it's a hole, I know you will be united with that person in Christ. You will. We will. And here's another thing it means. There are no barriers that we put up with people in Christ. What do I mean? Language, color, culture, what food you like, age, that's a big one. So we should practice now, right? Like if you're older here and you see some of our young people and you see some of our teenagers, you're like, I don't even know what chat face is. I don't know. Insta talk, or that sounds like something you make beef stew in. I don't know. Like, what am I going to talk to them about? And if you're younger and you're like, they smell like mothballs, I don't really get. Does anybody actually smell like mothballs anymore? Probably not. But you know, get what I mean. Like, that's a false barrier. In Christ, you have more in common with them than some people in your own age group, your own family, even in Christ. Culture-wise, man, I got a chance this past week. I say got a chance to drive all the way down to Virginia to, give my daughter a car. And it was actually great to see her, and I got a chance to go to convocation. She goes to Liberty University, so they have convocation every Wednesday and Friday mornings. And they bring in speakers, and they have worship, and they were celebrating just how many nations are represented as part of their school. And so the worship came out, and it was really awesome that one person sang a line in Spanish, and then someone else in English, and then it was, I think it was Japanese, I wasn't exactly sure, it was an Asian language, right? And we were all trying to sing together, and it just was so beautiful. And I got thinking about that. Yesterday, a church that's in Milford, they're a Spanish-speaking church, had reached out, they don't have a baptism, well, they had 10 people to get baptized. And I said, no, we're not, of course you can, right? Come, because we're one family. And yeah, here there's things that sometimes divide us that we don't want. We should practice saying, no, we are united in Christ, because that's how we're spending eternity. Every language, every tribe, every age, every experience, the only thing that unites us is the blood of redemption found in Christ. So our job here while we're here, before that all gets completely united and we're still living in a broken world, is to practice that. It's to live that way. To step into that purpose of forgiveness and redemption he's given us. So I wanted to, I almost never do this. Every once in a while, and that's request a song. I don't like being a micromanager. The Holy Spirit works on other people than just me. So usually they pick the songs and God's like, perfect, right? But I just had this idea of this song that I want us to sing together. It's really about the redemption found in Christ. I'm going to invite our worship team, wherever they might be. Some are sitting here. I think most of them are. Okay. They've gotten used to it now. This is our third time to come up. And so this song, here's what my prayer is, okay, is if you've never put your faith in Christ, right, this song could be a way for you to do that. Right? And if you're like, sing, it's okay. Sing quietly to yourself. Sing out whatever. You had a great voice, we want to hear it. If you got a medium voice, we want to hear it. If you have a terrible voice, we want to hear it. It's okay. Because God hears it, right? And sing it. And if for the many of us who are in Christ, I want this just to be a confirmation of who we are redeemed. Here's just a couple of lines. This will be familiar to some of you, certainly. If not, hopefully you'll love it. It's specifically a slower song so we can hear voices. So I want to hear voices. And it says this: what gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to give. He is my joy, my righteousness, and freedom. Freedom, right? My steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to his. Oh, how strange and divine, I can sing all is mine. Yet not I, but to Christ in me. Would you, if you're able to, stand with me as I pray? Lord Jesus, we come before you to worship in this song, and I pray that you give the faith to anyone who's here that's never put their faith fully and trust in you, Jesus. You give them the faith even now to do that as we sing. And for many of us who are on Christ and going through stuff or whatever it might be, remind us of who we are. Remind us of what you've done. We are a redeemed people of the Lord, and we should say so. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.